morning.
Morning.
We'll start our service this morning with the gathering song in your Sing the Journey number 3. Jesus calls us here to meet him. Please stand if you're able. Big welcome to everyone that could be here this morning. We have a few guests and some regulars at our back, and it's nice to see you all. And welcome also to those that cannot be here and are joining us online. We pray that the service today will touch each of us in a special way. Please join me in the call to worship. I'll read the light print and we'll read the dark print together. We may come here for a glimpse of glory, but Jesus asks us, can we drink the cup that I drink? The cup of Jesus' own life, struggle and joy, suffering and hope, fullness of life. We may come here to get close to Jesus, and Jesus asks us, can you be baptized with my baptism? Baptized into the reign of God, where the Spirit breaks down barriers among all people and creates new relationships. We may come here for honor or fame, but Jesus challenges us to become great, you must serve. Why are we here? To drink the cup of fullness of life, to immerse ourselves in Jesus' struggle for justice and peace, to learn how to serve that the world may be healed. Let's bow for prayer. We come seeking Jesus, the light of the world. Shine in our hearts, Lord Jesus. We believe in the strength of God to illuminate dark places. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness shall not overcome it. Lord, in this time of worship, kindle in us the light of your love. Let your light shine through us now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please turn in your blue hymnal to number 76. Praise, I will praise you, Lord. And let's stand if you're able.
I guess sometimes some of us might feel like we do or have when we've visited other kinds of churches, not Mennonite churches. If you go to an Anglican church or a Catholic church or some of those other high church, you're never quite sure when to stand, when to sit, and everybody seems to know what to do, and you just do the right thing at the right time. But sometimes you get instruction, not always. So you sort of look around. Is everybody standing? Okay, I'll stand. Everybody sits down, just sit down. We are not terribly formal here, apparently. Welcome here. It is very nice to see all of you again, all of you that I can see. It's nice to have those that I can't see. And I have to admit that after yesterday, it was Greg McLean's celebration of life over at Ridgeway, and to be back in this building just feels so good. You know, I didn't really realize the difference that it makes, but when I came home from the service, I said to Tromhan, I said, I was so nervous like I have never been before. Once I stood up to do what I needed to do, it was fine, but as I waited my turn, I was shaking. And he just said, well, you weren't in your place. And I think that's true. You know, then when I come back here, then it's, oh, like the walls seem to embrace us. And I hope you feel that way when you come into this sanctuary, into this company, that even if it's unfamiliar at the beginning, that eventually you do feel the warmth and the embrace and the acceptance and the belonging of what it means to be the community of believers. I'll mention a couple of other things. We are apparently on the schedule for the care home services next Sunday. That's the 24th. I have yet to find exact information about if those are in fact going ahead or not, or what the protocols are. So if you are interested, let us know at the office and we'll find out all the information we need. So let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your blessings, the blessing of life and the blessing of your presence throughout our lives. Thank you for the offering that has been donated, that it's sitting ready to be counted and dispersed, just as we have come to bring ourselves in offering to you. We also ask that you would use what we have given for your service. Thank you for the many opportunities that we have in other ways of serving you throughout the week and the months. And we ask that you would guide and direct us, help us to not be stingy even with our time or attention, but that we would give all of these things generously back to you because you give them to us. We know that we fall short of that, and we ask for your forgiveness. Not only in this, but in so many ways. You know us, each of us here. And we invite your Holy Spirit to point out the areas that you would like growth or change or redirection. Help us with calmness and trust to also relinquish our control and our hold on our own lives. Release them to you, so that you can fill them, so that we can live in fullness of life according to what you desire for us. We pray that you would help us this afternoon as the leadership team, knowing how to move forward for and with this congregation. And so we pray for the other congregations too, not only our own church. We pray for Mount Calvary Lutheran Church. We pray for Langham Fellowship, and we pray for all of the other churches and the people meeting, that you would guide and inspire, open our eyes and our hearts to move with you in your world, the world that needs so much attention and care and love. We pray for all of those struggling with COVID. We pray that you would bring healing and hope. Help us to be ambassadors of that healing and hope. We pray for the people of Afghanistan and all of those working with that country, the MCC partners as well as other partners, trying to bring some resources, help. When we look from a distance, we think it seems hopeless, but you are there. And we pray that you would be moving even in this dire situation. So we also remember the congregations in Myanmar and the way they have been displaced, the struggle, the terror that they face. As we sit here so calmly and quietly, we allow ourselves to be open to the struggles and the pain of our brothers and sisters around the world. Guide us, help us to know what it is we should be doing. We're not going to change the world, but you might. Help us to open ourselves up to that change, to your desired change, whether it's here at home or abroad. We bring all of these, as well as the very real struggle that Nick and Shirley have. And we ask that you would bring healing. Of course, we pray for speed. We pray for an easy road. And yet, we also pray that you would draw near to this family in this struggle. You never said you would take away all of the struggles, but you will walk alongside. And we pray that that would be their experience. All of these, as well as these unspoken concerns, the things that are weighing on our hearts, we present them to you just as our offering. And we also lift our voices together like you taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Please turn in your blue hymnal. We will be singing number 545. Now, I didn't pick the songs this morning, but I always enjoy singing this one. It's become very special to me when, I know if any of you remember, when we got the brown hymn books, when they first came out, I was in high school. I'm dating myself here. And it was number 300. And it was one of the first new songs that we learned at RGC in our chapels. And then when we graduated, our class picked this song as our theme song. So it's, I always enjoy singing it. Let's stand, please.
Thank you.
I'll be reading scripture from Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45, and this is from the NIV version. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do?" he asked. And they replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. And Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. And Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many."
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts as we come before you and your word be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you want? I've been thinking about this question all week long. Even this morning as I sat out on the deck and I drank my coffee, I was just thinking, what is it that I want? Really? And it's a question you can ask yourself throughout your entire life, because I think our wants change as our age and experiences change. And then when you realize what it is you want, when you examine what it is that you want, are you ready to express those wants? There's two steps there: examine and express. I want to use two little brief anecdotes. When I first saw this text and this question just kept jumping out at me like a sock in the nose, don't miss this, look at this. I was thinking, believe it or not, about the beauty pageants. Isn't that what came to everybody's mind? Seems logical. You know, we used to watch, I haven't watched them in years and years, but we used to watch them, and the winners, or close to winners, let's say the top three, they would always get a chance to speak, and they were asked the question, what is it that you would like, or, you know, what's your goal, or whatever. And so many times they would say, "World peace." And we think, wow, that's noble, that's a good thing. Don't we all want that? We all nod in agreement. But we all also know that in reality, this was not necessarily top priority for these young women in the beauty pageant. We know that they wanted, now I'm going to step out on a limb here, I could be wrong, I think they probably wanted to be the prettiest girl on the stage, to be the thinnest one so they look good in the bathing suit, you know, the bathing suit competition, and they wanted to win the pageant. Isn't that right? Like, that's really what they wanted. We know that. So let's not pretend or say or express, this is what I want, when really it's clear and evident by everything that we have done that this is what we wanted. Another little anecdote is much closer to home, has nothing to do with beauty pageants, because it has to do with me, and I have never been in a beauty pageant. But as you know, we don't hide it very well, but my husband and I are from different cultures. No big secret here. But the cultures are very, very different, and he doesn't know that I'm sharing this. So please have mercy on him, and I will try to be kind, but it's about me. So our different cultures, as long as we're living in Nigeria, we practice Nigerian cultures. We come to live in Canada. What do I expect? Of course, I expect us to follow Canadian cultures, North American cultures, all of the practices here. We're here now, we should follow these practices. One of them being gift-giving time. Christmas, birthdays, anniversaries, on and on and on. There's no end, like one a month, basically. You can find a reason why you should receive a gift or something, right? So as long as you don't examine the fact that you are from different cultures, you don't have to say anything. And then if you don't examine the fact, then you can feel resentful and upset and put out and all sorts of other things because you don't get what you expected to get, but you don't have to say anything. And you can be upset with the other person and they have to guess what you're upset about. So then, after years and years of this, 13 and a half years of this kind of torture, my husband asked me, well, I had started to at least hint, saying, you have 1 month until my birthday. Oh, it's only 2 weeks until my birthday. Next week is my birthday. But that's all I would say. Finally, he just says, what do you want? Exactly this question. Well, that blew the whole facade apart. And you know what I realized? I didn't even know what I wanted. I didn't know. There was nothing that I needed. And when he asked the question, I had to examine my motives. I had to examine what it was that I really deep down wanted. And really, I just wanted to hold it against him for not doing something. Let's think for ourselves. Maybe I am the only one who has ever done this. And you can learn from me not to do that. But right here, we have the example of Jesus just asking the question. He says, what do you want? And then he invites these people to ask for what they want. Ask and it shall be given. Knock and the door shall be opened, right? Don't we know that? But we don't like to do that because when we ask, we demonstrate some kind of humility or some need. The person who fulfills a need has more power and control than the one who asks. I have to humble myself and ask. And then we need to be ready to examine and express. Those are the two words that I would like for all of us to come out with at the end of this. Are we ready to examine and to express what our desires, motivations, and expectations are? Okay, so number one, Jesus says, this is who I am. This is how it all begins. This is who I am. This is what I stand for. And then after he lays that all out on the table, then he says, what do you want? And we see this pattern three times. I'm going to go a little bit beyond verse 45 into the next story. But first of all, Jesus starts with, this is who I am. He exposes himself. He expresses himself. He lets them know exactly who he is. It's not a secret who Jesus is. This is starting at verse 33. They're walking on the road. Jesus is ahead. They're afraid and amazed. That's a whole nother sermon right there. Verse 33. See, we're going to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be handed over. They will condemn him. They will hand him to the Gentiles. They will mock him. They will spit on him. They will flog him. They will kill him. This is who I am. I know this is going to happen, and I am going there anyway. This is who I am, Son of Man. He identifies himself Son of man, son of humanity, I am here for all humans. Anybody remember watching My Three Sons? Back in the, what is it, 60s or 70s? I'm not sure which, probably the 60s. My three sons. Well, here is one of the sons, Jesus said. Son of man, this is who I am. I am going to the place where I am sent. This is why I'm here. I am delivering myself up, even to the Gentiles who are not my people. I release myself. I know they're not going to like me. They're going to mock me. They're going to spit on me. Physical abuse. They're going to beat me, not for something that I've done. I'm still willing to go there. I know it. I'm still willing to do it. Let's think for ourselves. If I know that I'm going to be mocked somewhere, that is not the place I want to be. That alone, that's only the first step. Just the mocking. People laughing at me. Never mind being spit on, beat, and killed. This is our leader. This is who Jesus is. And after death, he will rise again. Jesus says, this is who I am, Son of Man. Now, what do you want? It's like the disciples hadn't heard a thing, totally distracted by other things, didn't listen to one tidbit of what Jesus was saying to them on the road. He took them aside separately on the journey. Like, let's walk over here under this tree, let's say, and we'll stand in the shade. I'm going to tell you a secret. So they're all gathered, 12 of them with him. He's telling them this. He says, this is going to happen, and I'm going to rise again. Really, they should have said, what? Instead, when they expressed, this is what we want, the two, here's the second son, sons of Zebedee, sons of thunder, I wrote down. This is who we are, sons of thunder. That sounds like a good team name. Anyone who wants to start a team, sons of thunder, yes. We want, and they expressed it right out in the open. We want acknowledgement. We want position. We want authority. We want to sit beside you when you are in power. This is what we want. Didn't Jesus just say, I'm going to give up everything? This is who I am. What do you want? Power, authority. So Jesus continues, verse 38. Jesus said to them, you don't know what you're asking. This is who I am. I have a cup to drink, and I have a baptism. This is who I am, the cup. Remind anyone of communion? We think of the cup as this is his task, this is what he's supposed to be doing. Also the communion cup. When we drink that cup, we are drinking that cup that Jesus drank. This is who I am, Jesus said. I am ready to drink this cup. And when we celebrate communion, we also say we're ready to drink that cup, Jesus' cup. And the baptism, remember your baptism? This is who we are, baptized into. Well, I'm doing this as if we did immersion. Some of you may have experienced that immersion. But when we go under the water, it's the symbol of death, readiness, willingness to go to death following Jesus' example. Is that how we continue to live out our lives? We did it once, a day, a moment, an hour. Is that how we're living our lives. Jesus said, this is who I am with this cup and this baptism. Now, your turn. What do you want? And what do they respond? Well, immediately here, of course, they say, yes, 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 we do, as we also do, and we did. On our baptism, we do each time we take communion, we accept it. And maybe even on a Sunday morning when we come here, we say, yes, we're ready to follow Jesus. But we need to do more examination of what is it that we really want? How is it that we truly live our daily lives with one another here, with our family, with our community? What do I really want? And here we find, verse 41, how they responded when the 10 heard this. Okay, so the 2 were ready to say something out loud, and then the 10 ganged up against them, and they began to be angry with James and John. They were annoyed and upset and. You know, I look at this and I think, yeah, 10 against 2. That sounds like, pardon me, the people who are ready to sit on leadership and you put yourself out there and you say something or you do something and then the 10 gang up on you and say, why did you do that? You shouldn't do that. You should do this. You shouldn't do that. And then there's a whole bunch of confusion and argument and. For those of you writing down scriptures, you might want to turn to the book of James, chapter 4, reading all of verses 1 to 10, especially verse 1, these conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Yeah, we sit here nicey-nice on a Sunday morning, and where do all those arguments and complaints come from? They just seep out of the woodwork like those little bugs that are everywhere, right, Ike? He spends hours vacuuming up those bugs, and then they just come right back. Where do they come from? Don't they come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something, you don't have it, so you commit murder. You covet something, you can't obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You don't have because you don't ask. You don't have because you don't ask. Because as soon as we ask, we expose ourselves and our motives and our desires. The exposure is not a bad thing. Because when something is brought out into the open, it can be mended and healed. It can be dealt with. But as long as we keep it suppressed or hidden, oh no, I'm not going to say what I want. But then I can be angry and annoyed, and then all of these conflicts and disputes rise, and we don't know why they're happening. You ask and don't receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Verse 10. No, let's look at verse 9. Read all of those verses, please, on your own sometime this week. Verse 9, lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into dejection. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Asking requires humility. What do you want? The third example where Jesus says, this is who I am. He said it twice already. He exposes himself. This is what I stand for. This is who I am, your leader, your example. Now, what do you want? 2 times, they didn't quite go the right way. 3rd time, he says, this is who I am. Verse 44, 45. Not so among you. Whoever wishes to become great must be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first must be a slave of all. The servant, the slave. It's best, it's great to be last. That needs to be our mindset. It's wonderful to be able to serve. First must be last and the slave of all. 4, the Son of Man. This is who I am, Jesus said, the Son of Humanity. came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. This is why I'm here. This is why I came to this earth. Are you looking for the reason that you are living on the earth? Why am I even here? And we struggle and we want to be great and we want to make a name, we want to leave a legacy, we want all of these, we've got all sorts of motives. But Jesus says, I recognize why I'm here. I am here to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. This is why I exist. What a relief to be able to recognize that in ourselves. And then all of this other stuff that just clogs us down. It drags you down. You're struggling and straining and trying to get something that is just a waste of time. Our leader demonstrates. He said, this is why I'm here. This is why I was born. What do you want? And then we find the next little story there that we didn't read yet. And he asks this of a poor beggar, not his hand-chosen leaders, not the ones he was training for leadership every day, masters of leadership. No, some poor beggar somewhere sitting there, blind, useless, just asking for help from everyone that passed by. Bartimaeus. There's the next son, Bar, son of Timaeus. He's the son of Timaeus, whoever that is. A nobody, but someone from the street who was not raised in the church, who was not taught in the synagogue, who knew nothing about this. Jesus said, what do you want? And he said, I want to see again. He recognized Jesus as Son of David. And he called him that. Son of David, I recognize that you are God, that you are the true king. I recognize your authority above all other authority here on earth and authority over myself. I recognize your authority. Some beggar, how did he know to say that? We are going to be very surprised when we see people expressing their testimony of who Jesus is in their lives. Never raised in the church, never came to Sunday school, never went to young people's college and career, all of these programs that we have, and yet somehow, some way, they can recognize who Jesus is. And that makes all the difference. What do you want, son of Timaeus? I want to see again. And when Jesus healed him, he got up and followed. That's all Jesus asks. Follow. Come with me. This is who I am. Jesus expresses himself clearly. This is what it's all about. Now it's up to us. Are we ready to examine our own motives, to express our own desires and expectations, and to ask in humility, this is my desire. Jesus calls us children. You are my children. 2 Corinthians 6:18, Romans 8:16, Galatians 4, verse 6, John 1, verse 12, and so many more. You are my child. What do you want?
Thank you, Lois. Let's respond with song number 95 out of Sing the Journey, the Green Book. Please stand to sing.
Bow for the benediction. May grace and peace be yours in abundance in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen.
For closing, let's turn in the blue hymnal number 430, and we'll sing one verse of God Be With You.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 1151-7309. All rights are reserved.